There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 920, January 10th. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say successful rocket legal launch by Williams. The Reds are keeping Red safe, and Wolf is protecting Red Bull. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Matthias Ekstrom claimed his maiden Dakar Rally stage win. Romain DeFonti wins the first ever Clio Ice Trophy round. Kevin Kalkhoven gone at 77. And still, no news from LCH. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. I have to say, today, Monday, IndyCars are testing at Sebring, which is only 90 miles from here. Dakar is in full swing, and Moa is going to Daytona 24 hours, courtesy of you and Mr. Bill English. So my racing juice is now flowing again. So I'm very, very excited. And since we have new cars, which are looking very beautiful, shall we have a new slogan for 2022 season, Mr. Rogers, and say, let's go, Fernando?
Let's go at machismo. Woo, dogs. That's a good idea.
Yes, sir, it is a good idea, and I'm very, very excited. I saw I don't know if it's an old, just a paint scheme on the old car, F1 car that Ross Brawn had displayed, but I'm liking this new car, Mr. Rogers. How about you?
I'm starting to like it, too. It's starting to bring back the old days. Oh, the memories. But don't worry, once they start putting little flaps on there and the super glue adhesive is pulled out of its secret cabinet, don't worry, the appendages will be everywhere as they always seem to grow in Formula One.
Yeah, but you know, I was thinking actually, not thinking, but more like, I was taking my afternoon break walk by the water, and I'm thinking, you know, how nice it would be if Carlos Sainz is on pole position for the first race, and let's say somebody else in a different car is second, and the top five cars are from five different teams. And there's a lot of chatter now that field is going to bunch up. But I think, you know, after a few races, it's going to be the same Mo and Curly show.
It could be, but now we have a new world champion that has new motivation, monsieur. So I think at Max, he is going to come in not just to take it to LCH, but he is now going to be committed to slaughtering the field, making it like he is the world champion for the next 10 years. It's going to be fascinating, but I'm telling you, he and his motivation is going to be hard to squelch.
No, I totally agree. And actually, you know, I will be very happy, and I expect it to happen in a lifetime, that if he gets a package that is half a second faster than anybody else, you know, advantages that have been enjoyed by Senna's and Schumacher's and LCH and anybody who gets a grip on a fantastic car, Prost with the 93 Williams, I will not be surprised if Max Verstappen in our lifetime, Mr. Rogers, wins 18 or more races in a season. 18 out of 23, 24, for somebody like him is very, very doable if you give him car number 44, if you know what I mean. And so he will have a lot of championships. There is no question about it. And it's just a case of if he's in the right car at the right time. Because if you don't have the package, he may have, pretty soon he's going to get his number two. But then, you know, without the package, number three can become very difficult.
That's so, so true. Without the lucky package. And it's all about timing, you know, it's all about timing. Boy, you know, new season, new car. There's a lot of timing involved in this, him winning the championship at the end of the old car. So, yeah, we're going to be looking at Mrs. Luck, Miss Luck, Lady Luck, and how she treats Max. Because in Abu Dhabi, ha! Let's give it to him. Lady Luck was on Max's side. So, we'll see how it goes.
And, you know, as far as his motivation is concerned, I think his attitude would be, I think, I may be wrong, but his attitude will be pretty much like Lewis' attitude was at the beginning of each season, last several seasons, where he would say, I'm not here to defend the championship, I'm here to win it, if you know what I mean. And I think this guy, both of these guys are going to be giving it all. Lewis has to regain his title to say he is machismo, not Nando. And Max, we already know he is the new wave. I mean, this new wave has been hitting the shore, Formula One shore, for a few seasons now. But now that he has the fast-acting wasabi power, I will not be surprised that he goes 2 for 2. And that will be in 22. And that will be fantastic. But if Lewis can get number 8, I think we'll be listening to a lot of Simon and Garfunkel. You know what I'm talking about? The Sound of Silence.
Oh, I love it so much. It's going to be so good, especially if it's Alpine on pole with El Machismo. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of giggling after February 23rd when we know who is on top out of the box. Because really, that is going to give us, it's the pH test. You know what I'm talking about? It's the test of all tests. Who is good with the new car out of the box? And we've seen teams struggle in February where tears are flowing and people are, all their dreams are going poof, 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 poof. So there'll be a lot of poofs, but I'm telling you, February, that's what we want. Third week of February. Whew, the telltale all, but we'll see. I mean, there's going to be teams that are going to struggle. There's going to be teams that are going to be great. And we usually know who those teams are. But there's some teams that are indicating that their engine progress is really substantial. They expect to be at the front of the spear, while we expect Mercedes to be dominant. But the thrashing they took emotionally only is still quite severe. And Toto is out for revenge, but that could, you know, so much bitterness could be bad for the kitchen staff, let's say.
Yes, and you know, at F1 Weekly, we can be serious once in a while, so let's be serious here. I think, I am hoping you will agree with me, I think if a Machismo can win his third championship this year, that would be better for the sport than number 8 for Lewis or number 2 for Max. What say you?
I totally agree. It would be the phenomenon that we're all waiting for. We had Max in Abu Dhabi and then a Fernando in 22. It would just bring the whole community together and there would be so much love and free sun tanning chairs for everyone.
Yes, that will be interesting. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the preseason testing. The first test is in Barcelona, if I'm not mistaken. And it will be good. It will be very, very interesting to see cannot wait to see these beautiful cars running around and hopefully making more noises. That's what we want, sir.
And of course, who sandbags the best?
Well, according to you, Mercedes.
They are good sandbaggers. They have built a lot of pillboxes over the years, and darn it, I'll give it to them. It goes way back, maybe to Prussia, but that's that's my personal problem.
Yes. Okay, sir. You probably heard that Mr. Otmar Szafnauer has been booted from Aston Martin.
Indeed, and the talk of the town was he was leaving Aston Martin, and this was a few months ago, I admit, and he denied everything, but he was caught having escargot, and everybody suspected he was going over to Alpine.
Yes, sir. You know, I met him a few years ago and had a brief chat with him at Kota, Austin. Very nice guy, very easy to deal with. And so he is from Detroit, Michigan, of Romanian heritage, and has been told, hit the road, Jack, and not in an Aston Martin. His days were numbered when it was announced that Papa Stroll had hired Martin Whitmarsh. In closing races of 2021, like you said, he was asked repeatedly in press conferences about the rumors that he may go to Alpine or somewhere else, and his response was the same. I have a contract for next season, so I'm not worried. So I can say is, all I can say is, welcome to the world of Formula One. A two-time world champion had a three-year contract with a famous team, but it lasted only one season. And do you think he will show up at Alpine? Because they had brought this guy, Mr. Signor Brivio, from MotoGP. And I've been hearing rumors that he wants to go back to MotoGP. So there may be an opening at Alpine. And they have quite a few chiefs there also. You know, Alain Prost is there. And it's top heavy with all sorts of people, both English and French. But I think he will stay in. He has very good credibility. And I think he's done a very good job. So, and we need more Amerikanski in Formula One as the thing is getting more and more popular here. So, where do you see him land?
Well, I hope he goes to Alpine, to be honest with you. I like his style. He's very good. He's a good manager. And he did bring in Vettel into the fold, so to speak. So, I think he's been a great help to Aston Martin's, you know, the transition from Force India, Aston Martin, blah, blah, blah. But yes, I think he's very good. And but, you know, there are other people out there that could do a great job as well. So I'm not quite sure where Alpine is going, or should I say Renault, or should I say maybe something else? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay, sir, moving on. Red Bull saying stop in the name of lawsuit. Think it over. You know, this gentleman, Dan Fellows, who I think is like an aerodynamic expert at Red Bull, he is bailing out of Red Bull to join Aston Martin. And Red Bull is claiming that his six-month gardening leave cannot be triggered until his contract is over at the end of 2022. So which means he cannot start till like 2023. Of course, Aston Martin would like to think that his 6 months will start from the date of him handing his resignation, and Red Bull is saying no. But apparently they went to court round one in the Hall of Justice last month, and the thing was ruled in favor of Red Bull. Speaking of ruling, judicial ruling, have you been watching this saga of Novak in Australia?
Of course, it's completely, well, I don't even want to really get into it, but if you're unvaccinated and you're flying to Australia, I think even the Pope would probably have a problem.
Okay. Now, sir, let's take a look at some industry money matters with our usual taste of honey, sweet and sour. Back in 2019, through the efforts of hardest working woman in Formula One, known by the name of Claire Williams, Daddy's team signed a long-term sponsorship agreement with telco company Rocket, which was started by a chap who used to work at Williams back in the 1980s. Little did he know, memories are very short in Formula One, especially when the payment is short. Team Willie will take you to Old Bailey. Now, Williams has been awarded a $35 million judgment against their ex-sponsor. And let's see if they will go and attach his bank account or seize his assets, or will they agree to the usual, you know, backdoor settlement where both parties will refrain from saying anything. So at least there is hope for $35 million coming to Williams in the near future. I just hope Rocket can reach out to Legal Beagle, that is Monisha Kaltenborn, for some sound advice. She has award-winning experience in tangled webs of sponsorship. As they say in a song, "One-on-one, I want to play that game tonight." And she can turn it into 3 in the morning at Albert Park. And that was Swiss Zinger of the Day. Moving on to more money issues, or sponsorship issues, I should say. Reds for Reds. The Russian cybersecurity and data protection company Kaspersky has extended their partnership with Ferrari, which began in 2010, for a few more years. The company was founded by a husband and wife team who, like the founder of SAP, are big fans of Formula One. So that is very good. I'm surprised they have not, if they have a kid, Dmitry Kaspersky, I'm surprised he's not in Formula One. Now, what I heard, I'm not sure, Mr. Rogers, if this is true, but I heard that when this company sent updates to their customers, I'm wondering if they do it by text message saying, "Pedro, up your PC." Could that be possible?
It's possible, yes. I could see Pedro getting a couple bucks for that on the side.
Yeah, he has to be paid royalty. Okay, on the other hand, the big brown truck has left the building in Maranello. UPS, United Parcel Service from Atlanta, Georgia, has packed up their sponsorship package with Ferrari, which began in 2013. Back in the halcyon days of M. Schumacher, Ferrari had sponsorship from another U.S.-based package delivery company, people who wrote the book on Overnight Express, FedEx. Now we come to Wolf is protecting Red Bull. This was a catchy headline that I saw on one of the websites. Christian Horner will be thrilled. His team's data will now be protected by Arctic Wolf. This is a cybersecurity company based out of Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Interesting. The word on the money street is Bose, you know who they are, and Epson will not continue with Mercedes in 2022. I don't think Mercedes, as long as they have Petronas, who apparently are paying a huge amount of money, and then they have this money from Sir Ratcliffe, whose company Ineos is already a 33% owner of the team. So I think Mercedes, plus winning Constructors' Championship, they are financially in good shape as far as their Formel 1 operation is concerned. Sir, Dakar Rally. Are you watching?
I have been watching. It's pretty exciting. And, of course, today's stage was outstanding. Stage 8 in the dunes. Outstanding photography, cinematography. Ekstrom winning in the Audi was a pretty big deal. But Loeb is also closing in on your buddy Nasser.
Yeah, and you know, man, I tell you, I've been watching this, enjoying this. But just like you, I am enjoying the beauty of the Arabian Desert more than the rally itself. I mean, it's just the photography and it's amazing how beautiful the desert can be.
It is. Everything on the earth is a beautiful thing.
Very true. So it all depends on how you look at it. So I'm really enjoying this. And I saw Mr. Sebastian Loeb. If he can win Dakar Rally, it will be quite an achievement for him because he has nothing to prove in terms of WRC. And then, you know, the other day, this MotoGP rider, Danilo Petrucci, he won a stage also, and he becomes the first rider from MotoGP world to win a stage on Dakar. And there are quite a few Americans also, which is how the NBC starts their show. No problem there. But I hope, you know, this event also becomes very popular here because this is a major global motorsports. You know, this gentleman, Dave Richards of Pro Drive, I think it was Loeb is driving for his team. And he was saying, you know, Dakar is as big as Le Mans and Indy 500. And I am very surprised that it has become that big as it is now in such a short time. I mean, this has been a major event already for many years. So very good job by your homeboys in creating this thing. You know, the gentleman who started this, Thierry Sabine, he unfortunately was killed many years ago while on a, he was on a helicopter and covering the event or whatever. But unfortunately, these things happen. Would you like to see Sebastian Loeb win, or would you like to see Nasser Al-Attiyah or Carlos Sainz win?
I'd like to see Carlos Sainz win. He's had some a little bit of bad luck. But of course, I think a Loeb win would be awesome. A nine-time world champion. I mean, this guy is el machismo de los machismos.
Yeah, yeah, it's very impressive. And we'll see how it works out in the end. Sir, shall we take a quick break, water break?
Outstanding. I hear him. San Pellegrino. We'll be back after this brief commercial message.
The Q stands for quality. Always has, always will. You know, when it comes to protecting against friction, nothing beats Quaker State. When it comes to protecting against viscosity breakdown, nothing beats Quaker State. When it comes to keeping engines clean, nothing beats Quaker State. Take it from me, for unbeatable protection, nothing beats Quaker State. It's one tough motor oil.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin that beautiful globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Rogers, I don't want to start the Motorsports Mondial with some sad news, so I'll have you give us an update on the Clio Andros Trophy or whatever thing that Renault was doing.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, exciting. Renault Club winners. The 2021 Clio Trophy France Asphalt and French two-wheel drive tarmac rally championship with Clio Rally 5. Romain DeFonti wins the first ever Clio Ice Trophy round in our favorite place, Andorra.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. Very exciting. High elevation Pyrenees location. So yes, Andorra was the first of the Clio ice racing. Just keep an eye out for this stuff on the Renault website, or you can just go to your favorite YouTube.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Andorra. Some years ago, I was looking at the MotoGP website and just reading about, you know, some of the top line riders. And one of them was living in Andorra.
Oh, I believe it. You know, people forget about Andorra. But the inaugural round of the Clio Ice Trophy, like I said, took place in Andorra, which is 2,400 meters above sea level at the Pas de la Casa circuit. So even a nice race circuit in Andorra. Isn't that wonderful?
That's what blows me about some countries. Now, Andorra is like very close to the French-Spanish border, if my geography is correct.
Indeed.
Right? Yeah, it is amazing. You know, if you look at, there's actually a website, I think it's called Circuits of the World. If you go and click on United States, maybe there's over 1,000 tracks, but it includes anything, you know, like dirt track, oval track, and all that. So, I mean, obviously, U.S. has far more tracks than any other country. But I could not believe when I looked at Argentina. I mean, I know there are a couple of big tracks there, but there are tracks all over. Spain has tracks all over. France, Italy, England. Every 30 miles, there is a track. And it's just amazing how some countries have so many tracks. And you know, that speaking of Clio, this is what I'm really, really so happy these days. Even in the non-racing thing, days like today, you know, whether you get up at 5 in the morning or 10 in the morning or you take your lunch at 12 or 2, I have YouTube on all the time. I was just about an hour ago for the segment coming up, I was watching, I punched in Libyan Tripoli Grand Prix. And there were actual videos and computer animation, all sorts of stuff there. And you can watch, you know, like Renault Clio Cup, which is a very junior series, live on YouTube or Facebook. You can watch Brazilian sports car, Argentine touring cars, Australian supercar, Jap, anywhere, you know. And, you know, the UAE, United Arab Emirates Formula 4 Championship was supposed to start this weekend, but they have changed. You know, they used to have, I think, Friday, Saturday off, but they are now going to have Saturday, Sunday as the weekend. So it has been pushed back one week. So I'm going to watch these races. And some of these different parts of the world, you know, if you get up 7 in the morning, the race is already over and it's already posted on the web. So we are living in very beautiful times, Mr. Rogers. One series that has really surprised me that's not doing this, which can use this global exposure, is Formula W, the ladies series. And I'm sure that there must be some contractual reasoning or whatever. And I'm sure you are watching NASCAR on your cell phone.
Well, I like watching vintage NASCAR, the old boys, the Dick Trickles.
No, the late 60s, those big American muscles cars, man, Dodge Charger, Torinos, Talladegas, just love those big cars. And that, you know, that Superbird, Plymouth Barracuda with the big wing. That car won the Daytona 500 with a guy named, I think Pete Hamilton was the guy's name. So yeah, the old stuff is very, very good. Now they have this new gen car coming and they got the races in stages and they got the final say on sponsorship. Oh, it's just a beautiful world.
Let's go, Fernando.
Exactly. Okay, sir. One person who has gone away, as you mentioned earlier, is Kevin Kalkhoven. Last week he passed away at the age of 77. You know, we interviewed him some years ago at Laguna Seca, and he was so nice and friendly, you know, because I was not planning to, I did not even know he was there. He just showed up. It was I don't think it was an IndyCar race, but it was very nice to have a nice chat with him. He was originally from Adelaide, Australia, and he was part owner of Champ Cars and also bought Cosworth from Ford Motor Company, so his series will have an engine supply, because they had gotten the word that Tony George was going to buy Cosworth and kill the engine supply to IndyCars or whatever they were called in those days, Champ Cars. After the merger, he entered a car in the new series with ex-driver from San Jose, California, Mr. Jimmy Vassar, and together they won the big prize at the Brickyard with Tony Kanaan in 2013. And you know, Kevin Kalkhoven was a CEO at a company called JDS Uniphase, which in the days of, you know, the tech boom was like one of the major companies that was always in the news. Our friend Dan Gentile used to work for that company. I worked there also, but long after he was gone for a short time, I was there. So that's Kevin Kalkhoven. Our condolences to his family and his friends. Okay, sir, Mr. Rogers, we have not done a goodie bag in a while, and because there's been so much racing lately up until the beautiful race in Abu Dhabi. So I thought we should take this time and do a goodie bag featuring Sands of Time from Casablanca to Yas Marina. And we have our time constraints, so this is part one of part two. And today we're going to talk about a couple of races, and next week, two more. In the 2021 Formula One season, the opening and the final three races were in Arabia. And this season, it will start again in Bahrain, and the final race will now be the now traditional Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. So I thought, why not look at history of Grand Prix racing all over Arabia? Formula One, this is interesting. Formula One raced in Morocco. Like, you know, when people say to me that Formula One is not very popular in America, I tend to remind some people, I said, yeah, but United States produced two Formula One world champions before there was a world champion from France or Germany. Okay, so now listen to this. Formula One raced in Morocco many moons before they raced in Mexico, Brazil, Japan, and Australia. And the history of Grand Prix racing is much deeper than that. And that is courtesy of, let's just put it this way, French and Italian people who were there. Okay, let's start with Algeria. The Battle of Algiers for Grand Prix glory was fought between 1928 and 1937 at three different locations. Bugatti won all the races in Algeria. Marcel Lehu, who is a very famous name from that era, won the first two Grand Prix, and his fellow Francais, Jean-Pierre Vimille, won the final three races. Now, some people will say, hey, Marcel Lehu was from Algeria, which technically is correct, but he was of, you know, French heritage, and so I said French driver. Okay, the racing took place on two different street circuits and one purpose-built track at Oran. And Mr. Rogers, when I was a little boy, many, many moons ago, before I even got hooked on Formula One, I had read about a couple of tracks that were very, very mysterious places for me. One was this place called Oran, Algeria. I've never heard of this. And the other was Montlhéry in France. And I heard about that because Antonio Ascari getting killed there. And I've been to Montlhéry, and Oran is in Algeria, high on the bucket list. And one of these days, I will get there and send you a postcard from Algiers. Now, one of the great racing talents of this period came from Algeria. And this was the opinion of none other than Signor Enzo Ferrari. This driver's name was Guy Moore. Like Gilles Villeneuve, he had a brief but spectacular career driving the red machines. In 1934, he won the Monaco Grand Prix and the race at Avos, the high-speed bank track in Berlin, which was used once for the German Grand Prix, and I believe it was the 1959 German Grand Prix. Guy was second in the Tripoli Grand Prix and the famous, most famous race of Sicily, the Targa Florio. In August of that year, he was chasing race leader Luigi Fagioli in the rain when he crashed and paid the ultimate price for his passion, and his body was flown back to Algeria, and that's where he's buried. And his papito was from Francia, and madre was from Viva España. Okay, now we come to Morocco. The first and only F1 championship race in Morocco in 1958 gave the world the first British world champion in Mr. Mike Hawthorn, but sadly took the life of another British driver, Stuart Lewis Evans. And believe it or not, Bernie Ecclestone was the manager for Lewis Evans. The first ever Grand Prix in Morocco, obviously not a Formula One, took place in 1925. In 1934, Louis Chiron won the race in an Alfa Romeo. 20 years later, the winner was Giuseppe Farina in a Ferrari. Now, back in those days, FIA had a rule that if a country wanted to host a round of Formula One championship, they first must hold a non-championship race to prove they can stage such a high-profile event. So in 1957, such a race took place and was won by famous French driver Jean Beira in a Maserati. And Jean Beira unfortunately lost his life at the Avos track in Berlin. The championship race in 1958 was won by Mr. Stirling Moss. And now today, you don't have to hold a non-championship race to prove you can make it happen. If you just show a bank balance of $40 million and a check written to Liberty Media, you can get a Grand Prix in your town. Today, Morocco has a track at Marrakech, which has seen two World Touring Car races, now they call it TCR Series, and also Formula E races. And the country's best-known driver is Mehdi Benani. He has won races in touring cars, and once upon a time, he used to race in Formula Renault, and like everybody else, wanted to be a Formula Uno driver. So that's a little look at a couple of races, Grand Prix history in Arabia, Maghreb, North Africa, whatever you want to call it. And we shall talk about races in Tunisia and Libya. The Libyan track was Paul Rica of the time at near place called Milaha Lake. So we'll talk more on that next week. Anything else, Mr. Rogers, you would like to talk about, discuss, or anything?
Outstanding job, Ness. Outstanding. It's been a quiet beginning of 2022. Like I said, I'm looking forward to the testing. I mean, I just can't wait to see these new cars on the track with drivers that are not going to be that happy about these new cars, but they will make changes. It could be Hitco or Carbon Industries. We're not quite sure.
Hey, don't forget Brembo.
Gracias.
Oh, I'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Brizier. He sent me an email, which I responded to, but I think it was his nighttime when I responded. So I thank him for the information on Jackie Stewart's car he sent me. And please stay tuned. I would like to land at Heathrow next month if things work out and COVID is not an issue. And hopefully we can do some motor racing visits and some spicy curry, fine dining.
Good for you, Nass. Keep up the good work, Peter. Checks in the mail as usual and, of course, on time. So anyway, Nass, keep up the good work for yourself. Outstanding. Stay warm. I have to admit that everything has been nice and quiet for me now that the holidays are over. I've got a few days off. I can focus on F1Weekly.com. So I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Happy New Year, and we'll see you next week. Okay, and now our musical Mondial insert.
Yes, sir, and since we were talking about motor racing in Arabia, how about a little music also from Arabia? This is a very fine tune called Cedars of Lebanon by the orchestra of Mr. Ron Goodwin. Thank you for listening. Enjoy.
Sim, sim, salabim.